What's going on, Cardinals Nation? I am Kareem, aka Cardinals Prospects. I am joined by Cardinals Analyst and Cardinals Opinions, also known as Aiden and Peter, respectively. We're going to talk about the recent Red Series, our young, impressive outfield, and much more on this episode of Cardinals Cast. All right, to start, let's talk about the series with the Reds. What did you guys think?
First off, with game one, that was a poor performance by C.B. Buckner that ultimately cost us the game. I believe MLB or umpire scorecards had like a one run difference, which was the result that we lost by. And then, of course, Gallegos' error in the eighth inning, I believe, also kind of put the nail in the coffin for us. But overall, I liked what I saw in game one from the offense. Kept up the trend that I've seen in second half of working counts, getting to pitchers, and hitting the ball hard when they make a mistake. Aiden, did you have any thoughts?
Nothing that you didn't already say. That C.B. Buckner, you said he was – that was not very easy to watch. But as far as the offense goes, it went pretty well. They put themselves in a good enough position to win the game. I feel like if we hit like that and have decent pitching combined with better umpiring, then we should be able to win a good amount of games coming up.
Yeah, and a couple of guys in game one that had really big games, Paul Goldschmidt and Harrison Bader, they've been really, really good this month. And if we're going to be successful down the road and make a playoff run, those are going to be two guys that are going to have to continue to perform.
Yeah, for sure. And I would say that on top of that, we'll need Arenado to get hot and stay hot for a duration, maybe for the rest of the month, maybe into August, half mid-August or so, so that, you know, the rest of the offense, not everybody needs to be hot all at once or something like that, right? If we have 2, 3, 4 guys that are hot, the rest of the offense doesn't need to be hot all the time, you know? But if we can just stay hot, if we can continue to take good at-bats, I don't see why we couldn't, you know, take a jump in the standings or just feel better about this team.
And it's also about getting hot at the right time. We play the Brewers, I think, close to 10 times in this half. If we can really make those games count, then there is no reason that we can't jump up in the standings.
Exactly. And somebody that I would keep an eye on that's been, Cardinals fans will hate this because of how much he strikes out, but he really doesn't, is Paul DeJong. I've been impressed with what I've seen since the All-Star break, and I know he did not have the best couple games in the Chicago series, the latter half of that series, and then also the first game, game one against the Reds, as we were just talking about. But these last two games, he was taking better at-bats. And if he gets hot like he was just before the All-Star break and how he was up to this point, I really believe that we could go on a run. And if the Brewers, who kind of might be playing for teams now, if they struggle a little bit, because their offense really is not that sustainable, if they struggle, we could take advantage of it. And I don't see why Paul DeJong would not be in that mix of players to capitalize.
All right, so we can talk about game two. Jake Woodford pitched 5 innings, gave up 3 runs. The Cardinals obviously lost that game. Luis Castillo had a great outing for the Reds. 5-3 loss. Is there anything you guys want to talk about that game?
Pitching just needs to be better. You know, you can't score 6-plus every game, and the games that you don't are the games where you need your pitching to show up, and we didn't have it that game. Obviously, it helps to score more than 3, but we just got to be better overall.
I think one of the main focuses is hitting well with runners in scoring position. I think in game two, we had the bases loaded a couple times and didn't get anybody in, or maybe we got one run in. But we really need to be better with that. I'm pretty sure Arenado grounded into a double play two times with run opportunities. So, like, he needs to be better there, obviously. But also, just as a whole, we need to be better at driving these guys in, picking up the runs when we can. Because if you're trying to come back from five runs in the ninth inning, that's not going to happen all the time. But if you can, you know, pick your moments, oh, you have a runner on second here, drive him in. Obviously, that's simple baseball. That's what you're trying to do. But if we can just get good at that, like, again, it'd be easy for us to take these kinds of games that are close. When your starter gives you five innings, three runs, sure, but when your starters are giving you some consistency now, if you can just get those runs in, I think we could have some success.
Similar problem as last year. We just gotta drive those runs in. We're doing better than we were, but still, there's a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to talk about that game, the Cardinals were hitting pretty well in the eighth inning against Brad Brock. They had a rally going, and Jose Rondon obviously came in to pinch hit for Matt Carpenter. What did you guys think of that? Would you have gone with Carpenter against Doolittle or went with Rondon like Schilt had done?
I feel like you got to go with Carp.
I don't know, because Rondon had been taking better at-bats, like Schilt was saying. I remember there was a series against the Rockies where he obviously kind of hit the rope down the line in that comeback win, that big comeback win. And then I feel like there's another game in there that he came up. He hit a home run. Maybe that's what I'm remembering, against the Cubs in the second game of that series, the one that we lost in the ninth inning. So, I mean, he has been taking better at-bats, and it's the lefty-righty matchup. And they probably would have shifted on Carpenter, so I think that's also what Schilt was considering. So I don't think it's as clear-cut, maybe, as some might make it, but I probably would have went with Rondon there, just knowing your options. If Molina was healthy, I would have gone with Molina there, but, of course, he was out. So I think Rondon probably was the smart option.
Yeah, I see the logic behind going with Rondon. The reason I would choose Carp, though, is because, you know, as much as a lot of people will refuse to admit, he has been very reliable recently. In the month of July, he has an 800 OPS with a 120 WRC plus. Like, he's not hitting poorly right now. I feel like he would have had a really good chance of doing something for us there.
So let's talk about game three. The Cardinals 1-10-6. Johan Oviedo pitched, but he was unable to secure his first major league win, pitching 4 1/3 innings. What are some of your takeaways from this game?
It was a fun game to watch. I think we have our games where we just look absolutely unstoppable, and then we have our games where we don't. But today was definitely one of those days where watching the team play, it was just so much fun seeing all three outfielders go deep, seeing the offense do what we for the whole season have known is possible. It's really nice and refreshing, and hopefully can get something started for us in the next few games.
Especially, I think the brightest spot, although I know Bader's taking the attention and O'Neill for obvious reasons, right? But Carlson doing what he has the last couple of games. He's been hitting the ball harder. He's been squaring it up a little bit more and driving it to gaps. He obviously has, I believe, he had a couple home runs the past two series, maybe even three. But Carlson heating up would be good for this offense out of the leadoff spot, somebody to jump off from. And he could be a force where you have, oh, you can't really mess with Carlson. He can get on base. He can maybe drive the ball to a gap. And then you have Goldschmidt. Then you have Arenado. And then you have O'Neill. And so he could really be a table setter for this offense if he can keep it up, which we kind of have to hope for going forward.
Yeah, it was the first game this year that all three of our outfielders hit home runs on the same day. I think that was really impressive to see them all do what they did, especially given, you know, like the injuries with Bader and O'Neal. It's nice to see them all out there playing and doing what they did. I want to segue this into the outfield. It's been one of the better outfields in the league. Where would you guys rank them among like the MLB?
First, I think it's important to note Harrison Bader this offseason. It's come out in the last few days. He had some sort of eye, some sort of allergy surgery, some sort of allergy, nose, eye surgery that's helped him see the ball better, which could help him in the future. That's maybe why we're seeing more power now. On top of that, we've seen O'Neal really shine, and we've seen Carlson shine the last couple days. I would say probably in the top five just this season. I don't really know, because the Reds outfield, sure, you have Winker and Castellanos, but who else you got there? And I would say O'Neal's better than Winker. The Dodgers, they've been hurt. Bellinger hasn't been that great. Mookie hasn't been great. I would personally say top five this season alone.
I would have to agree. Simply one of the biggest factors that goes into that is that you rarely see an outfield. You'll have got outfields like the Reds where they've got Castellanos and Winker, but you'll rarely have an outfield where all three of the guys can contribute the way that ours has. And I know Carlson has been a little iffy here and there, but overall, in terms of results, he's been getting it done. He's been doing really good for a 22-year-old rookie. Bader, he's always been a great player. It's just that this year he seems to have found something that can spark his offense. And then O'Neal, he always had the potential, and it's really nice to see him put it all together this year. Our outfield overall has just been a really, really nice contrast to what it has been in the past few years. Because I remember when it was absolutely terrible. I mean, even last year, it was a bottom outfield in the league offensively. But so far this year, it's been really, really nice.
So I have a couple questions here. First of all, is there any possibility that this outfield is the best outfield in the major leagues this season?
This season, I'd say no, just because you look at the Reds, they had two starters in the All-Star game, and that has to mean something. But down the road, it definitely could be. We've got a lot of guys, you know, our three outfielders are relatively young, especially Carlson, and they're only going to grow and get better. So eventually, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the best outfield in the game. I don't know if it's quite there just yet, offensively, but I wouldn't be surprised next year if they're at least top two, you know?
Highest ceiling, I think. And I really don't think it's all that close.
I mean, I could see the Yankees outfield high. If we're talking purely on ceiling, and if Stanton is in left field, I think they probably have, or maybe even the Dodgers. The Dodgers probably have the highest ceiling outfield. Just because you have Bellinger, who could MVP caliber, you have Mookie MVP caliber, and then you throw in a guy like Taylor Pollock, and like those are three guys with tremendous ceilings or tremendous upside, and I think they could go anywhere from there. But we're definitely top five in upside, I would say, because we just have so much potential out of these guys. And then my second question is, would Randy Rosarena or Adolis Garcia be starting in this outfield this season?
Garcia, there's a case for Garcia, but not a Rosarena.
I have to agree. I think Garcia would. I don't think a Rosarena would.
Randy just hasn't been doing it recently. As much as people want to hate, I genuinely don't think that we lost that trade as badly as people will make it out to be.
Well, Rosarena's done more, you know, with what he did in the playoffs and all that and getting them to the World Series. But future value-wise, I don't know if he's going to be this stud of a player for years to come that a lot of people thought.
Yeah, for sure. And so then I would propose this, start bench cut, or not start bench cut, but you have three outfield spots, O'Neal, Bader, Carlson, and Garcia. Who do you cut out of those three?
Is this like right now based on how they've played or future?
I would say let's do one for right now, and then let's do one in the future as well.
I'd say for right now, we'd probably have Garcia over Carlson. But in terms of future, I don't know if that'll be the case.
Yeah, I would put Garcia in there over Carlson and then have O'Neal and Bader. But I don't know how sustainable what Garcia is doing is, you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I'm unsure on the future side of things. Because, I mean, we know that Carlson has a very promising future because he's been above average at 22. I mean, what more can you genuinely like expect out of him? I think that every aspect of his game is only going to get better.
Yeah, Adolis Garcia is a 28-year-old who's been DFA'd twice. Like, and I don't really see a way this guy's going to have a better career than Carlson. But this year, I mean, he was in the All-Star game, right? So he's performed really well. But yeah, that's what I would say.
I'd probably have to go the same direction. By the end of the season, though, I hope that Carlson gets that final spot, just because that would mean that we're probably in a much better position standings-wise and just, like, offensive-wise. Maybe we can say, oh, our offense was above average this season instead of, you know, bottom two.
Well, Garcia's been scuffling at the plate, like, recently. He's not nearly as good offensively as he was earlier in the year. So, I don't know. By the end of the year, Carlson might have a campaign for a better overall season. We'll see.
And even if he didn't, I really wouldn't stress about it. Carlson, I will say, recently, he's kind of found this little power stroke, and I'm really hoping it continues. He's been, I think you mentioned earlier, not in the recording, you've never seen so many barrels in such a short amount of time from him. It really seems like he's put something together. Do you think that he can keep doing this? Maybe not at the same pace, but on a decent pace.
Yeah, I sure as hell hope so. You know, I don't think the power numbers have quite been there. Like, before the year, I thought he would, you know, hit for a little more power, and to see him compile this week of, you know, hitting the ball harder and, you know, with more barrels and stuff like that, like, it's a good sign, and hopefully he can continue that the rest of the year.
And if he does continue it, should he stay in the leadoff spot? Especially, let's say that Bader continues what he's doing, and if Carlson keeps his performance up, who should have that leadoff spot?
I think he's got the best profile out of potential guys for the leadoff spot just because of his approach and, you know, his discipline at the plate. Like, I think you can make an argument for Bader hitting leadoff, but I think Carlson's got a little bit better of a approach. I think his discipline's just more refined. I think it's fine keeping him at the leadoff spot just to see what happens if he continues to, you know, perform. You know, just keep him there. If he doesn't, then maybe we can move Bader there. Maybe that's like the only option, to be honest, just Bader or Carlson. But I think he'll lead off the rest of the year.
I agree. I think that Carlson, with what he's shown as far as like the at-bats that he takes and those really nice on-base stretches that he has, I think that he could, if he were to get more comfortable there, really be a solid leadoff guy for us. And, you know, if it doesn't end up working out, it really couldn't hurt to throw Bader in there for a little while. I think experimenting shouldn't be out of the picture. But I think right now, we would love to have Dylan get comfortable in the leadoff spot just because of what we know he can do on base-wise. And recently, power-wise, he's been looking a lot better.
And so I think from this, we should say, okay, looking ahead, obviously we have the next two games against Cleveland. Those are the only two games before a weekend set and against the Twins, I believe. No, I don't really know who we face next weekend, but we face Cleveland and the trade deadline's Friday. I know the Cardinals probably aren't going to make any moves, but I have heard that Mike Liz and Flaherty are getting closer to coming back, which is obviously very positive news and could be treated as a trade possibly. So what do you guys think about them rejoining the rotation and possibly taking over LeBlanc's, Oviedo's, or Woodford's spot?
I cannot wait for that because, I mean, you think about it this way, even if they were to not do as good, even like if Flaherty were to not do as good as he was in the beginning of the year, I mean, you can't expect to win consistent games starting LeBlanc and Oviedo. And Oviedo has looked decent at times, but overall, he needs more time, you know? I feel like either of those two coming back would just make such a huge impact for one player. I mean, I can't wait.
I just feel like that would almost be as good as a deadline addition. Depending, of course, on how good Michaelis is. I think we know Flaherty will at least be somewhere around average. But, I mean, no matter how good Michaelis or Flaherty are, they're both better than Woodford and Wade LeBlanc, who truthfully shouldn't even be in the majors. I find it hilarious that LeBlanc is starting on a team with Goldschmidt, Arenado, and O'Neill, and a team that's contending for the playoffs. But, you know, injuries happen and front office mishaps do too.
That's unfortunately what happens when you have, I think we have five pitchers on a 60-day right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, getting Michaelis and Flaherty back is pretty much like, you know, making a trade deadline move. I don't really see us going and grabbing, you know, a notable pitcher or anything like that, but getting those guys back is going to be really big for this team. And if we're going to make a run, they're going to be big parts of it for sure. So I think that's something to look forward to with Flaherty and Michaelis coming back and proving the rotation.
And then if I guess it's not good to dream about things, you know, like you don't want to say, oh, I want to go get Mike Trout. It's not going to happen. But if you could get one realistic trade deadline acquisition, like maybe not like a depth move, somebody that would actually be somewhat useful for the team, say like a guy like Berríos. That's probably not going to happen, but something like that where it would actually impact the team. For me, I would personally say somebody in the bullpen, maybe a guy like Cole Sulcer or maybe even Rogers from the Twins or Blyer and Curtis from the Marlins as well. Somebody like that. Do you guys have any ideas on who could be useful addition to the team that doesn't really break the bank?
Yeah, I think a guy I really like, Alex Cobb. I don't think he'll cost too much. And I don't know if the Angels are going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline, but if they're selling, I think that could be an intriguing option to help the rotation.
The Angels, like, never have pitching. So you think, like, that would even be in the realm of their mind? Like, they might sign Cobb long term rather than give him away,
right? I mean, the way Sandoval's pitching for them and Shohei, obviously, I think they've got some arms for sure.
Another guy, pretty realistic, I think, Ian Kennedy from the Rangers. He's been really solid being on a team like the Rangers. I feel like there's a good chance he might be on the move. It's not out of the realm of possibility, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's also smart. I don't know I feel like the Rangers might want more for him just because, like, they're just going to try and squeeze everything out of people. But I think they could probably use somebody in the outfield with our outfield depth. I know they need some infielders for the future, but I think they could take somebody like Justin Williams if, you know, if the need arose. But yeah, I think the trade deadline would be fairly conservative and nothing really impressive unless Mozeliak decides to go get someone completely random and blow us all away, which he doesn't do. So hopefully we can say a year from now, maybe not even, maybe at the end of the season, that Mozeliak didn't screw us over at the deadline.
It's also really important to note that it is not worth giving up a lot for anyone at the deadline for us, because we really need to conserve our farm and to go and get a rental for, you know, our entire farm is just not worth it. And it's very important to note that if we were going to get somebody, really cannot be a huge name because of how much we have to give up for it.
I was going to say, like, a lot of people think Mozeliak trades, like, all these, you know, top prospects and stuff, but that's just not true. Like, he never trades, like, our top prospects. I don't see Gorman or Walker, you know, getting traded. So, yeah, I doubt we're going to see any trade like that. Our farm system, depth-wise, isn't anything special, but if we're able to add an arm, you know, give away a couple mid-tier prospects, I wouldn't mind that personally.
So, kind of going off this Mozeliak thing, would you say Mozeliak is a good GM, like above average GM then, because of the idea that he understands what we're trying to do for the future, right? Like, would you say that he's somewhere above average, maybe top 10?
I think he's, like, close to average. Free agency-wise, I feel like he's pretty subpar. Like, I think we usually don't make great moves. Like, Brett Cecil, for example, Luke Gregerson, Dexter Fowler, like, Mike Leake. These are all recent moves, like, over the past, like, 6-7 years. Like, I'm not the biggest Mozeliak fan, but he's not horrible.
You definitely can't, or I should say, I definitely can't really say that he's above average, but I really wouldn't say he's as bad as most people would say. Just because you are conservative with your farm doesn't mean you're not willing to improve the team. But to kind of piggyback off of what was just said, he needs to, I feel like we need to really step up our free agency game. And there's no better offseason to do it than this upcoming one with all of these contracts we have ending, Carp, Bueno, and Yachty being three very key contracts that we really have been holding us back recently in terms of just signing free agents purely. And with all those ending and all the spending money we're going to have, like I said, there's no better offseason to really break that that mold that he's made.
If there's one move that Mozeliak has to do for the future of the franchise and the right mind for what we're going to do and how we're going to win, he has to tell Molina to go and get as far away from St. Louis as possible. Don't come back for like 10 years, because this team, whether we like it or not, Molina should be gone, should be, you know, sold off. I don't care if we have to pay the team, another team, to take him from us. Molina shouldn't be a part of the team. Kisner this series kind of proved it in that Molina just isn't that useful anymore, especially with the talent coming up. Molina has to go, and if Mozeliak does that, he could easily be above average, in my opinion, because he's willing to take the fans, the fans' blame, and just get rid of the old guy who does nothing, comes up with an occasional hit from time to time, and frankly, is one of the worst catchers in baseball right now. And so if we took ties with Molina, you know, I truly feel like we could be taking a huge step in the right direction rather than just, you know, Wade LeBlanc. It'd be so much better than most people would think.
And if I'm going to agree with what you just said about Molina, which I am, I'm going to just get this out of the way first and foremost. RBIs are a bad stat. The fact that he has a lot of RBIs really doesn't mean that much, considering he's most likely being been holding Schilt captive to keep him in the five spot in the order.
That's the point, right? Like, he's batting fifth. He should be driving in runs, right? Like, you have Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado in front of you, and Tyler O'Neill this season. If you're not driving them in, like, it would be a travesty to have this guy on your team if you didn't even put the ball in play. Like, runs batted in, Molina is terrible. I don't care if he made the All-Star.
The fan voting, I mean, the All-Star game, it really shouldn't matter that he made that because it's fan voting. And as much as I hate to, you know, diss on a Cardinal legend, it's gotten to the point where you can't just ignore it because, yeah, he's been on the team for a long time. Yeah, he's done a lot for us. Yeah, he deserves his respect. But at the same time, he can't abuse that respect and just expect us to just let him play for as long as he wants to while hurting the team, thinking that he's, you know, not hurting the team.